this statement that I don't want to become trite to anybody. It's not a worn-out statement. It never will be. It's eternal truth, isn't it? Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. That's their excuse. That's their flimsy, lousy excuse. Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. It tells them what to do and how to live, and they don't want to do it, and they don't want to live that way. Amen. And so they are in conflict with the Scripture immediately. Satan's subtle schemes. Satan is full of subtle schemes. He'll say anything, do anything, influence anybody he can to get his program going. He has a program, and his program is so subtle that even Christians by the multitudes have been taken in by it and are being taken in by it. And I stand in this church and I harass and I harangue and I holler and I preach and I say that Satan is out to get you. He's out to destroy you. He hates you, and he'll do anything he can to destroy you. And we know, as we review the Bible, that the Pentateuch, I'm sorry, we read in Genesis 3, "Now the serpent was more subtle," Satan's subtle schemes. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not touch it, neither shall ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Excuse me. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Oh, you don't really fall for that Bible, do you? You know, the Bible's the Word of God, and when God speaks, that's the Word of God, right? So the devil is saying, "Oh, no, did God really say? Is that what he meant?" Now, that's their interpretation of it down at Pentecostal Assembly. But don't you think you ought to read another book or go to another church and hear somebody else's interpretation so that you are not bound by the words of God? Can you hear them? Every day, every day. I saw a silhouette of a rabbit's ears this morning. Rabbit's ears, you know. And it says, unclean for Jews. Jews aren't supposed to eat rabbits. Unclean for Jews. And then another silhouette alongside of it, a TV antenna. They call them rabbit ears. Unclean for Christians. Thank you, Brother Al Millen. Praise the Lord. I don't know where he collects all those good things. Anyway, isn't that just like the devil? He'll sneak into your home. If he can't get there in person, he'll come there through the TV. "Ah, but we just watched the news or a good sports program, or we just watched the Christian programs." And as quick as you can blink your eye, there's a half-naked woman on there advertising orange juice or peanut butter or something. I don't know what they advertise, and I don't know how they dress. But that's what I hear. One man borrowed a TV to watch. We heard this at the ACE convention. Donald Johnson, I believe his name is. He gave up his TV. Baptist. Baptists give them up. Pentecostals don't even have them. Okay? This Baptist had this TV. He gave it up in some sports event. It was the Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys, okay. And he's from Texas, of course. From Dallas, Texas. Louisville, Texas, right out of Dallas. He did nothing wrong with a sports event. So he went home and he borrowed this television. Or he went to a neighbor and he borrowed a portable television, took it home, and he sat and he watched that game. And at halftime, the girls came on. And his children looked and said something. Do you remember the words, Brother Ray Nichols? Do you remember the exact words he said? Yeah, Dad, aren't they dressed wrong? Boy, Dad got the picture right there. You know what he did? He unplugged the television set, wrapped up the cord, took it back, and didn't even see the last half of the game. He was so upset by it. Well, anyway, unclean for Jews, unclean for Christians. Satan will subtly sneak into your home with his schemes. If he can't come there in person, he'll come via the television set. Well, I don't like hearing that talk against television. All well, you're going to hear it as long as I'm here. You might as well find another church if you don't like it. I mean that. Holy boy, you miss us if we go. I don't know if we will or not. That sound hard? Listen, brother, sister, Satan is in your TV set. You may say, I can control the button. Well, you go right ahead and control it. God bless you. I'm sure some people can. And if you can, God bless you. More power to you. But everybody can't. Everybody can't. And what happens when mom and dad are gone? Do the kids run down and sneak on something and see something they shouldn't see? Well, you can't protect them from the world. No, I know God didn't really mean that, did he? He didn't really mean that. God didn't say that if you touch that thing that you're going to die that day because you're going to have something go wrong in your emotions and in your mind. What's the first thing Satan does when he comes along? He casts doubt on God's word. We just read that. Yea, did God really say? Did God really say? For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof. Oh, and that's why a lot of people say, I'm going to go out and try a cigarette. I'm going to go out and try some beer. I'm going to go out and try some whiskey. And some people even say, well, you know, I'm really glad that I came out of a life of sin because I know now that there's nothing out there. You're an unbeliever. God said there's nothing out there. Can't you believe God? He's a fool who has to go by trial and error all the time. That's the world's way of finding out what's good and what's bad. The world says, we'll drink poison in our pop, or we'll eat poison in our food for 15 years, and if nobody dies, we'll keep doing it. But if people start dying by the hundreds, well, maybe we better take it out of the food. Right? That's the way the world does it. But God wrote a book, and God says, hey, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, do I have to go out and live in sin to discover that the wages of sin really is death? Do I? Or can I just live by this word and say, God said it, I believe it, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. God's got a people. God's got a people that are sold out to Him, totally sold out to Him. Amen. And they're not going to, you know, there's a doctrine today. Oh, my, I'm just loaded this morning with things that are going through my mind. How many heard Dale Evans this morning? I didn't hear it. My wife told me a little about it in the few minutes she had. I didn't hear it. I was busy with other things. But well, we'll get into that maybe in a minute. But Satan wants to cast doubt on God's word. If he can get you to believe that God doesn't really mean what he says. Now there's a man that came to me one time. It was like he had a hot potato in his hand. He had sold some property and he made a profit on it. Well, he made $20,000 and he had a $2,000 check in his hand. And it was like a hot potato. Brother Tanberg, here's my tithes. Here's my tithes on this property I sold. Here, please. Get it off my hands. It's God's. I don't want to die with this in my possession. It belongs to Him. God said in Isaiah 66, to whom will I look? To this man will I look. I'll look to somebody that trembles at my word. Other people go around, well, we couldn't care less if we pay our tuition on time or late at New Hope Christian School. What difference does it make if we're, did God really, God didn't really mean that. Isn't that the devil? Psst. Yeah, that's the devil. He'll slip in. He'll slyly sneak in with his subtle schemes anywhere he can. Just, I don't have to live up to this. After all, Jesus was divine. He lived a perfect life, and we're not expected to keep it. Well, what is the new birth all about? What is the Spirit of Christ being given to you and me all about? The Christian life is a life that is impossible to live in the natural. It is impossible to live in the natural. And the spiritual things are foolish to a natural man. And he can't understand them. So if you're natural, you're carnal-minded, you're headed in a different direction than God wants you headed in. God says, you're carnal, you're not spiritual. Come on, let's get with it. God has given us the Holy Ghost to overcome and to be able to live by this book. Do we preach this book as an ideal that cannot be attained to? You mean all these commands are options? They're mere suggestions in the Scripture? Hath God said? No, he didn't really mean that we should keep our mouths zipped closed. And he didn't really mean that we shouldn't gossip a little. I mean, after all, it feels so good to tell something on somebody. Oh, I just can't keep it to myself. You mean that we can go through life without thinking evil thoughts? Amen. Jesus said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Amen. Francis Schaeffer. How many have heard of Francis Schaeffer? A few of you have. Okay, he has a series of films out, I believe. But anyway, chapter 7 in one of his books said that men are making, something like Dale Evans said today, making commitments to Christ, but not living the life. They're talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And he doesn't cast doubt on God's word. He casts doubt on these people's experience with God. Are all these people that are raising their hands in the different crusades and going forward finding Christ? Or are they just finding some kind of temporary relief from a guilty conscience? Or are they really making a commitment to Christ? Don't you think that if a man is a Christian, don't you think that if a man has come to Christ, that his life ought to be changed? Don't you think that that's the greatest testimony that we can offer to the world, is a transformed life? I mean, we love to see the demonstrations of the power of God. We love to come to church and see a withered hand stretched forth and made whole. We love to see blind eyes open. We love to see people on stretchers jump up and run the aisles. And oh, we will all praise God, yes. But listen, the greatest demonstration of God's power is when an alcoholic walks through that door and he hits the altar with both knees and tears come flowing down both of his eyes, and he walks up a clean man. He stands up a clean man. He's not drinking anymore. He's delivered from that thing. And when a person, any of us that have hot tempers, or any of us that have evil thoughts, or any of us that have problems in our lives, when we go to that altar and we get delivered through the Word of God, and we walk away clean, delivered, free, that's a miracle. Amen. That's a demonstration of the power of God. When we can forgive one another and love one another in spite of how they have hurt us or offended us. Amen. That's a demonstration of the power of God. But how many people would jump higher over a blind eye being opened than over a man being delivered from a hot temper? Amen. Something wrong. Amen. Something's wrong. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Satan comes along. He casts doubt on God's word. What does he do? You know what something else he does? He casts doubt on nature itself. God teaches us through his word, and God teaches us through nature. And God says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame to him? Wait a minute now. How long is long? Length is relative, you know. Well, let me tell you how long is. When women are cutting their hair like men, and men are letting their hair grow like women, I think somebody's got it mixed up. The unisex generation. Uh-huh. No, but here's Satan's subtle scheme. Satan comes along and says, boys, let it grow just a little more. Just a little. I mean, length is relative. Who's going to say that a half an inch makes the difference? I've heard that sick story for so long, it makes me sick. Who can say that a half an inch makes a difference? Well, listen, let me tell you something. Every half inch a boy lets his hair grow, and every half inch a girl cuts off of hers.
Amen.
See what's happening?
That's right.
The boys are looking like girls, and the girls are looking like boys. If a man doesn't have the sense to know what's long, and a woman doesn't have the sense to know what's long, or a man doesn't have the sense to know what's short, and a woman doesn't have the sense to know what's long, let me tell you how you can tell. If a woman never cuts her hair, that'll be long enough. And if a man shaves his head, that'll be short enough. Now, if you don't have the sense to know the difference, then that's just what you ought to do. I mean that. If you don't have the sense to know what's short and what's long, all you are doing is siding in with Satan's subtle schemes. And you'll be found arguing against the Word of God. You know, we don't set standards for God. God teaches us principles in His Word. And it's when people refuse to follow principles that you have to have rules. That's why the Bible says the law is for the lawless. For the profane and the murderer and the whoremonger and all these people. You have to have laws to govern those people because they don't have Christ in their hearts.
Amen.
And it's a shame when a church full of born-again people have to be given rules. When a church with born-again people have to be given rules, that's saying that there is a diminishment of Christ in their hearts and an enlargement of the world.
Amen.
They have an enlarged heart, full of the world. Oh, we don't like this. We come to hear the gospel, how Jesus loves us. Do I preach how Jesus loves us?
Amen.
I do. If you've been to this church regularly, you find out that this man preaches the cross of Calvary. This man preaches the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. But I am aware of Satan's subtle schemes. I am aware of Satan's subtle schemes. If he can just get boys to grow their hair a little longer and girls to cut their hair a little shorter so that we can't tell the difference, you don't think that that's associated with ERA and women's lib and all these other things? It most certainly is, and that's what's going wrong with the world today. Amen. And clothes. Oh, but I feel more comfortable, the girls say, when I wear a pair of pants. Is comfort your top priority? If comfort's your top priority, where are your pants right now? Don't you believe in being comfortable in church? Do you sit around at work like you sit around at home when you're alone? For comfort? Comfort is not your top priority. Don't try to fool yourself. Don't let the devil fool you. I'm not fooled by it. It's more comfortable. Listen, some people are more comfortable going about naked, and you scream at that. Well, why go their direction? Why go their direction at all? And now Dale Evans this morning says, my wife told me this, that incest, which is sexual relations between family members, incest can be a healthy experience. Is that what we're headed for today? Thank you, Jesus. That's a confirmation of the Word of God. God is saying right now, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. You think July 15th was a windstorm to escape? Brother, sister, we haven't seen anything yet. When God begins to shake not the earth only, but heaven also, wow. I mean, when you see stars just out of their orbits shooting through the sky, and you see the moon turn to blood, and you see the sun darkened, and all these cataclysmic events begin to take place on the earth, I'll tell you, there's going to be some screaming, some shouting, some waking up. Amen. I don't think anybody's going to run to their basement and turn on their TV to see what's happening. Instead of Satan pulling the wool over their eyes, they're going to pull something over their heads to hide themselves. We don't need any of this world. We don't need any of this world.
Amen.
Now, when I say world, I'm not talking about jobs. I'm not talking about apples and peanut butter sandwiches. Oh, sure, God gave us those things freely, richly to enjoy. When we talk of the world, we talk of all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what's in the world. That's what the Bible defines as the world. Okay, now you didn't come for a clothesline sermon, and believe me, that was not a clothesline sermon. That was not a clothesline sermon. Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. This book does not contradict itself. They're only looking for excuses. Men reject this book because they don't want to walk according to its laws and commandments and precepts and judgments. Amen, amen. Well, we don't hear this kind of preaching anywhere else. No, nobody else loves you like I do.
Amen.
Paul said, you have many instructors in Christ. You've got 10,000 instructors. You've got all kinds of people that'll come to your church and teach you all kinds of beautiful seminars and preach you all kinds of beautiful sermons. And they'll take a beautiful offering and they'll go somewhere else and do the same thing. You've got 10,000 instructors in Christ, Paul said, but you have not many fathers. You have not many preachers, pastors that really love you enough to tell you the whole truth so that you can be saved from the wrath of God that's coming. The Bible. Don't you love the Bible? Where would we be in a dark world without the light of this book? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for the Bible. Amen.